إن الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, yesterday after Maghrib I finished Salah and I was going from here to there, and in this glass I saw my reflection, and it was like looking at my father, almost exactly. So I suddenly remembered my father, and he passed away in 2007. So now that is how many? Almost 11 years. My mother passed away in 2014. And I thought to myself, in the last, of course I make dua for them every day, but when I saw the reflection, suddenly all kinds of memories, you know, sort of flooded back, and may Allah grant them Jannah, inshallah. And I thought to myself, how often do we remember them? And then I thought about my grandparents, my mother's side, my father's side, Nana, Nani, Dada, Dadi. For them also I make dua every day. But those memories are now consciously, if I think about them, then I remember specific incidents. And those incidents are, now they are like looking at old pictures. There is no feeling attached with that. It's like dry, like pictures, you know. Yeah, we were there, we were here, we did this, we did that. Because now they are old. My Dada passed away in 1960, if I am not mistaken. So it's a long time ago. The reason I am saying this is because one of the things with the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alaihim Ajmain, and the reason they lived the kind of lives they lived, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them examples for us, is because for them the ghaib was real. The ghaib was real. The reason I mentioned this issue of my father and so on is, now that they have passed away, they are in, for me, they are in the ghaib. They are in the Alam al-Barzakh. We make dua for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save them from every kind of difficulty. But they are in the ghaib. Now, even though these are people we knew, not just knew, your parents are your parents, so you know, they gave birth to me and so on. My mother gave birth to me. So point is that even people we knew very closely, after they die, after some time, the memory gets fainter and fainter and fainter. And this is from, it's a rahmat of Allah also, because otherwise the pain of parting will be such that you will not be able to survive. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it, you know, easier after some time. The memory is there, but the pain is not so much and so on. So that's good, but that's a different issue. My point is that even people and things and incidents, if you think about our lives, if I ask you, for example, think about the happiest incident in your life which happened, you will think about something. If I say, think about the saddest incident in your life, you will think about something. But all of those are, you know, at some point in time in your life, this happened recently or in the past or remote past. So over time, they faint. If things which actually happen to us also faint with time, what about things which have not happened yet? What about that which we have not seen yet? We have not seen Jannah. Right? Inshallah, we have not seen Jahannam and we will not see Jahannam. We ask Allah, we don't want to see it also. But Jannah, we would like to see Jannah, we would like to be in Jannah, but we have not seen Jannah. So what about that? How can you make this real? The same way as how can you, supposing you say we want to keep the memory of, supposing I say I want to keep the memory of my mother or my father alive, then what must I do? I must keep talking about them. Right? Whenever I meet my brothers and sisters, whenever I meet anybody who knew them, or even with strangers, you know, mention them in some way or the other, some quality, some incident, something they did, something they said, how it affected, what it did, so on, so on. So, find ways and times of mentioning them. The more frequently you mention them, the more real it becomes. Right? Now you take, for example, the many things that we know. Supposing I tell you, you know, this little, one of our little boys here, Ibrahim, he was very sick. Alhamdulillah, yesterday he came, he's fine. So I asked him what happened, he said viral fever. Now, I have an uncle, mashallah, who is now, if I'm not mistaken, is either 100 years old or 101 years old. He believes that there is no such thing as virus, there are no such thing as germs, and there's none of this. He does not believe in any medical, scientific so-called fact. He said, this is all bunkum, nonsense. Now, when I first heard him say that, I thought, obviously I didn't say it, he's my elder, but I thought to myself, you know, what kind of thinking is this? This gentleman is very backward or... But he is a very big scholar. He's not a small guy. He's a very big scholar. He's written many books and so on. So, it's not as if you're talking to some, village bumpkin. You're not. You're talking to somebody who's, very eminent. He's a great writer and philosopher and so on. So, I then thought to myself, well, he's saying there is no virus, there's no germs and so on. Now, I don't believe that. I believe that these things. But my point is, my belief is based on what? Have I seen a virus? Have I even seen a picture of a virus? Have any of you seen a picture of a virus? But if I ask you, may Allah protect us, our belief that there is a virus is stronger than our belief that there is Allah. Na'udhu billah. This is a reality. This is an actual reality. But we have not seen. We have never seen a virus. How many of us have seen a virus? Maybe you will now go do the Google search or something. Do it. I mean, it will be interesting. What does the virus look like? Do we know that there are, whatever we learn, a lot of stuff, not everything, but a lot of stuff that we understand in what is broadly called science, and which we believe in with complete and total yaqeen, a lot of that, if not all of it, we have never seen. Have you seen a radio wave? Have you seen a sound wave? Somebody said sound wave. How do you know it's a wave? I mean, I can go on endlessly. I mean, I can give you example after example after example of all your and my iman bil ghaib on things of this dunya. And then the same question, if you say, have you seen the conditions of the khabar? Of course, we have not, because we are alive. What is our faith in that? Alhamdulillah, we have faith, but I'm saying generally speaking, what is the faith in that? A Muslim will not say, I don't have faith, because he knows this is not the right thing to say, but does he really have faith? Seriously, don't tell it, don't say it if you don't want to say it, but ask yourself, do I really believe that the grave will squeeze? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the grave will squeeze until the ribs from one side go into the ribs from the other side, like this, and he showed it with his hands by intertwining his fingers like this. May Allah protect us from that. Do we believe that the khabar has fire in it? May Allah save us from the azab of the khabar. This is one of the things that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to ask protection of Allah from. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azabil qabri. So the point is that how real are these things? And as I gave you the comparison, we believe a lot of other stuff, which seriously speaking, if I ask you, you say, okay, have you seen it? You have not seen it. So why do you believe? Because you hear about it every day. You believe because you hear about it every day. Our people here who, may Allah bless them, they serve us different capacities. Couple of them are completely illiterate. Totally. They cannot even write their name. They can't sign their name. They have to do a, you know, thumb impression. They routinely use words like download. Huh? Oh, aap bhej diye, main download kara leta hu, print kara leta hu. What does he mean by download? Does he understand what is download? If you ask him, download means what? Nahi, wo cloud se, cloud bole to abar, abar mein cheez hai. People are using terminologies, they have no clue what it means, but because it is used by different people, you hear it all the time, for the person it is real, even though he has no idea what it means. So the question is, how did the Sahaba live the kind of life they lived? Because for them, Jannah was real, even though they had not seen it, we have also not seen it. And Jannah was real because they talked about Jannah. The Akhirat was real because they talked about the Akhirat. The Day of Judgment was real because they talked about the Day of Judgment. The Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the shade of the Arsh of Allah which we ask Allah for was real because they talked about this on a daily basis, multiple times in a day. Some of these things are mentioned in the Quran. Some of them are mentioned in the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People would go. Sahaba, people would come to me, Ya Rasulullah, are there rivers in Jannah? Allah said, Tajri min tahti al anhar, what is that river like? Is it water? Is it something else? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the rivers in the Jannah. Allah said, from the river of honey and there is a river of milk which does not go bad. Lam yataghayyar. And so on and so forth. Real for them. And because Jannah was real for them, they worked for Jannah. They did things for Jannah. They invested in Jannah. My favorite story of this Jannah being real is the story of Abu Dahda al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. Some of you may have heard it because I keep on saying beautiful stories. There was a young boy who came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the masjid crying. So Rasulullah asked him, why are you crying? He said, I am an orphan. And my father left me a small plot with some date palms. And one, I want to put a wall around it for security. And he said, one, that wall, where it, I have a neighbor who also is a Muslim, he's got a big garden. He said, one of his date palms comes in the middle where my wall has to go. So I asked my neighbor, can I cut this tree so that the wall can go? He said, no. So he said, I asked him, will you sell me this tree so that I can take the wall around the tree? He said, no. So he said, now I don't know what to do. He won't sell me the tree and he won't allow me to cut the tree. The wall cannot go from this side, whatever the contour issue was. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called for this person. So this person came. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, why don't you give that tree to that boy? It's one tree. Give it to him. He said, Ya Rasulullah, no. This is my haq. It's my property. I will not give it. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, sell it to him. You say some price for this tree. This tree costs so much. We'll tell the boy to pay you. Sell it to him. He said, no, I don't want to sell it. It's my property. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, sell it to me. Yeah. He said, don't want to sell it to the boy. Okay, sell it to me. And the price, the what I will pay you for it is one tree in Jannah. What is the meaning of one tree in Jannah? It means Jannah for you. I mean, it doesn't mean that you are going to sit in Jahannam and say, see, my tree is there in Jannah. No, I mean, Jannah, the tree in Jannah means Jannah for you. Now, Allah knows best what happens and, you know, what goes on in people's minds and so on. Alhamdulillah, this person who was also a Sahabi, he was also a Muslim. And he was not a munafiq or anything like this. Wallahu alam, what happens in people's minds. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I will not sell this tree. Khalas. Oh, that's it, you know. Then the Prophet is promising him Jannah. He said, you sell me this tree, I will give you a tree in Jannah. He says, no, I don't want this. I will not sell the tree. And he left. Now one of the Ansar Sahaba, Abu Dahda al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, he was sitting in the masjid. He heard this whole conversation. So he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, if I buy that tree from this man for you, will you give me the same thing which you promised him? One tree in Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes. So Abu Dahda al-Ansari went after this man. By that time, this man reached the market of Medina. Abu Dahda caught hold of him. And he said to him, I want to ask you something. He said, what? He said, will you sell me that tree? The man said, I just told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will not sell it. Why will I sell it to you? So Abu Dahda al-Ansari said, do you know me? He said, of course I know you. What do you know about me? So the man said, look, I mean, this is some joke or something. I mean, I know you. What is it? No. What is it that is known about me? Who am I? He said, you are Abu Dahda and you own the most valuable date palm garden in Medina, which has 650 bearing date trees. It has a well of sweet water and it has a house inside it. He said, this is what we know about you. He said, correct. He said, I am going to make a deal with you. Yeah, now, by now, there is a crowd collected all around. People are watching this interaction happen. He said, I will make a deal with you. So the man said, what's the deal? He said, the deal is, you sell me that tree and I give you my entire date garden. So 650 trees and well and house for the price of one tree. We don't even know whether that's a bearing tree, good tree, bad tree, nothing. So that man said, you are crazy. He said, you are serious? What kind of thing is this? He said, no, I'm absolutely serious. All these people are witness. If you agree, this is the deal. So the man said, this is fantastic, you know. So if this is what you are saying, if this is true, deal is done. I sell you the tree. What is happening here? He is promised a tree in Jannah, which is in the ghaib. It is not real for him. He is promised 650 trees here right now. It's real for him. He takes it. So Abu Dahda radhiyallahu anhu said, fine, deal done. People, everybody is witness. Abu Dahda al-Ansari went straight to his house, to his date garden. He stood outside. He called his wife. Ya Umma Dahda, she came out. He said, pack your bags, bring the children, come, we are going. He said, where? He said, I have sold this garden. She said, to whom? He said, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she said, for what? How much? For how much? He said, for one tree in Jannah. For one date tree in Jannah. What does she say? Does she say, you are insane, you are crazy, what's wrong with you? Does she say that? No. She said, wallah, what a bargain. She said, alhamdulillah, what a bargain. She said, what a bargain, alhamdulillah. She packs her things, she comes out, children with them. One little child, he picks up one date. He's in a date garden, he lives in a date garden. Obviously, he picks up one date to eat it. She puts her finger in his mouth, takes out the date and said, throw it. We have sold this. This is now belongs to Rasulullah. You can't touch it. Abu Dahda al-Ansari radiallahu anhu comes to Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif. Said, Ya Rasulullah, I bought the tree for you. And then he says, you know, insan hai. He says, Ya Rasulullah, you told me, you know, I have a tree in Jannah. He wants to make sure his deal is. He said, you told me you will give me a tree in Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yeah, Abu Dahda, I promised you one tree in Jannah. But your Rabb showed me your Jannah. And your Rabb has filled it with trees. Not one. He said, your Rabb has filled it with trees. How did they make these deals? Because Jannah was real. Jannah was real to them. Today, for us, germs are real to us. Jannah is not real. all this fear of politics is real for us. What Allah Jalla Jalaluhu will do is not real for us. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Huh? Ajib. How much time, energy, effort we spend talking about politics? And how much time, energy and effort do we spend talking about the akhirah, which we believe is yaqeen? This politics is not yaqeen. We do not know all the schemes and this and that, and this will happen, that may happen. We have no clue whether it will happen or it won't happen. Maybe there is a third world war before that, nothing will happen. Who knows? But what we know to be true, at least this is our iman, or we say it is our iman. How many times do we speak about this? I am talking about speaking because this is what makes it real. Why are germs real? Because we talk about it all the time. This one got a virus. My belief is that when doctors don't know what's happening, they tell you you have a virus infection. Nothing else. They have no clue what's happening. So they say a virus infection. I remind myself and you, let us make this part of our conversation on a daily basis. When we sit with our children, when we sit with our friends, when we have friends with whom you can talk like this. Where we can talk about Jannah, we can talk about Jahannam, we can talk about the Day of Judgment. We can talk about the meeting with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We can talk about the meeting with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. I won't say as if it is real, because it is real. Not as if it is real, it is real. But let us make it real for ourselves. It is real, but for us it is not real. So let us make it real for ourselves by talking about this, by remembering it, by thinking about it, and by working towards it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us the Jannah that He has created from inside, not from outside. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us and to grant us the meeting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and with Him Jalla Jalaluhu, and to grant Him the Anwar, to grant us the Anwar of His Didar when we meet Him on the Day of Judgment. وصلى الله على نبيه الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.